Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
So welcome back, David. You were on our show a couple of weeks ago, and we had a great response to the interview that you gave, and so we wanted to have you back. There was so much that it seemed like we left on the table, but I want to start out with a recent experience that you had where there was an unexpected death, and you saw the fallout from that with potentially failure to plan.
Absolutely. I'm a member, I'm the senior vice commander at the VFW 8242, around 95 by the big green tank. We had a member, Simon, very, very dedicated volunteer at our VFW, show up every day, except Wednesdays. And he helped out with bingo and whatever needs to be. And he was always on time. And one day he did not show up. A welfare check was done at his residence, and unfortunately, he had expired in his shower. He died, and it was very difficult because he was a quiet man, a decorated Vietnam veteran, Bronze Star for valor.
Really?
Yes, very dedicated. This man was Canadian, French Canadian, still had the accent.
We'll forgive him for that.
And he went ahead, and during the Vietnam War, when we had draft dodgers leaving to Canada, he did the opposite.
Yeah.
He came to the United States and joined the Army and served in Vietnam. And he was a hero because he pulled his fellow service members out of a burning armored personnel carrier. And he sustained severe burns, but he saved their lives. Very quiet gentleman. And what happened was, we did not know any family members that he had because he lived by himself.
Well, these are the individuals that we are remembering on Memorial Day, which is, you know, just a recent holiday that we observed. And there are those untold stories. But when we celebrate, I guess not celebrate, but remember the fallen soldiers, he's one of them.
Yes, he's definitely a war hero. And what happens with that, not having any information, we had to go on Facebook, and because he had a very, his name was Simon Labrick, may he rest his peace, in peace. He's French. And so we found the similar name in Facebook. And we were able to contact his family. And they come out, and he had a stepdaughter in the Carolinas, in North Carolina. And he comes out. I mean, we tell him what happened. They fly all the way out here to Yuma because we did a memorial for him, service at the VFW. He had told someone that he would like his ashes spread at the VFW. And he loved Yuma. So he went ahead and we did that. After that, now I have the family here. They go to his residence, and at that time they didn't know what was going to happen because they couldn't find any living will or any type of trust or anything to say, hey, this my property goes to whoever. And that became a problem because he did have a vehicle too, and the when someone, you have an unattended death with no forwarding of documents, it creates a problem because now they wanted to have his residence, his property. Then you go to probate court, probate court. And I, again, I'm not a lawyer, so I needed to walk them through the best I could. And when they basically said, okay, you want to take over his estate, you're going to take over all his credits. All his creditors, everything.
All his debts.
All his debts. And unfortunately, his residence wasn't paid off. So you had to explain that to them. And their English was limited because they spoke mostly French. So the one sister, I had to be very, you know, slow when I talked to her in English.
The Spanish didn't come into
handy. No, the Spanish did not help. No, did not help. And it's just amazing all the stuff that happens. Even to the, down to the vehicle, where if you go to the DMV here, legally, what I found out is that they could take over the vehicle, but it has to be an American citizen. that takes possession of the vehicle. But people don't, at the internet, they couldn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
So the and then you have also the stepdaughter, where she wants to come into play, but she was never documented as a legal stepdaughter.
Yeah. Right?
So she couldn't do anything. So, but the family says, we would like to donate the vehicle to the VFW.
Cool.
So yours truly was able to help them out with the paperwork. We got the vehicle donated to the VFW, mm-hmm. put the VFW name, and the vehicle was donated to the VFW, his vehicle, Simon's vehicle. But it's just amazing where I know now that I'm going to have some documentation for my kids, because I don't want them to go through that. It was a very difficult situation, and I learned a lot from this situation.
Well, I want to get into a little bit of your role in right now the public sphere. You won an election recently, and you're serving on the elementary district board. What are some of the most, and this question is both directed to Jaslyn and to you, if you had to think of the most pressing issue that's going on with the district and what it is doing really well. So pressing issue meaning, what are some things that our children are really struggling with that we need to make a priority to address? And what are the things that the school is excelling in?
Well, first of all, one of the things that I had boots on the ground experience, because I worked at the school. I worked as a custodian. As you know, when I talked to Adam, when you retire as a cop, there's no transition course to go into civilian life.
It's got to be tough.
It's tough.
I listened to your interview. It was a wonderful interview, how you served as a psychiatric nurse. You got on with the police force in L.A., and then you went and became a reservist, and then served three missions, right, over in the Middle East.
Yes.
And came back, worked some more as a police officer. Did you spend 30 years as a police officer?
33 years.
33 years as a police officer. And you served the community, you served the country, and then you're serving our kids. I tell you what, we have this ongoing joke, and it's kind of, you know, jokes are like 90% truth. Mm-hmm. And Cody Beeson, who is a guest on our show frequently, and very good. He participates in these target competitions. And he says, if we're going to arm anybody to keep our schools safe, it should be the custodians, because they know the kids and they know the halls and they got all the keys. And you would have been that perfect custodian.
Like I said, I came here to Yuma and I wanted a job. I saw there was an opening for a crossing guard at Castle Dome Middle School. I applied. And then that turned into a custodian job. And you're right. If you've ever watched the movies, the custodian knows all.
Yeah, it sounds like a movie plot.
Yes.
You got these guys, these bad guys coming in. They're going to hold the kids hostage for $1 million ransom. And then the custodian starts picking them off one by one. I'd watch that movie.
They had the Breakfast Club. Now I'm dating myself. I recommend you.
I love the Breakfast Club. No, I'm there with you.
What did the custodian tell the principal? I know it all. I know everything that goes around.
That's right.
Now you take a trained observer like myself, a cop, investigated complex investigations, worked undercover, and now I'm a custodian.
Are you currently working?
No, I finally retired, but I'm still volunteering.
Uh-huh. Back to my question, what is the most pressing issue? What is the thing that our children are struggling with the most in our elementary schools here in Yuma?
With any school district, public school, it's not going to be perfect. But
you sound like a politician. Are you running for office again?
No. I might.
Because that was a bit of a dodge.
No, we do have the situation where we have overcrowding right now in
okay.
our schools. Okay.
Yeah. Too many kids per teacher.
Exactly. We know that the foothills here is growing. There's new housing tracks being built behind Walmart in the foothills, with thousands of people now adding to the population here in Yuma. Therefore, our schools that are on the east end are totally full. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
And they're emptying out over there on the west end, you know, like Yuma High. Yes. They're busing people over there to Yuma to be a criminal over there at Yuma High. And those who know the mascot know what I'm talking about.
I go to the football games.
Okay.
love the Yuma criminals. And what happens is, yes, that Center City, the Center City portion of Yuma, those schools, the areas, the neighborhoods are dying out. Those mm-hmm. people are now in my age, senior citizens, they're not having kids, so therefore they're not populating the kids. You also have the apartment complexes out there that are housing now our migrant workers
yeah.
at work. Mm-hmm. So therefore, most of them are single men. Some ladies that work in the agriculture here in Yuma, and therefore they take up the apartments that would have been families.
Yeah.
So therefore, we're in a difficult situation because when the bond didn't pass, then we had no money for maintenance. There's a lot of maintenance issues. There's 18 schools. Mm. So the overcrowding of these schools that is our challenge that we have.
So we need more brick and mortar. We need more teachers. It seems like we're a bit top heavy with administration.
That right there is
a loaded question.
It's a loaded question. Again, this is my first year. We're looking into 6 months now in this position.
You don't want to get fired 6 months in.
No.
But we're the voters. We're the one that hired you.
The thing is, like I said, I decided to run when I was working boots on the ground. I was in touch with what was going on. I saw, for example, the bullying issues, the behaviors, we had to break up fights.
Yeah.
The custodians and as a crossing guard. And
boy, you would be the perfect person to break up a fight.
Well,
you're a hostage negotiator, for heaven's sake.
I was crossing the kids one day, and right there on the corner of El Tondo and 24th, a fight broke out. And I'm literally in my orange vest and my stop sign, and you won't believe that putting the stop sign in between the combatants.
That did it.
Stopped.
That did it.
Verbal intervention. And of course, the teachers came and assisted. So yes, we did separate numerous fights, not only in the custodian, but also as a crossing guard. But again, when we have any type of incidents like that, of course, they're dealt with.
Uh-huh.
And they're disciplined and the parents are notified. But as far as one of the things that I saw too, is there's a lot of cyberbullying. A lot of bullying.
That is intense.
Yes.
Because you can't escape it. It's there day and night, and it's magnified by 100 times. Whereas some bullying that would occur in the classroom back in my day would basically be in the classroom and in the school halls. But when I went home, the bully didn't follow me home. But now with kids being on social media constantly and that bullying continuing on, that is a serious, serious problem. What do you do?
Well, the technology that we have now that we didn't have when we were in school has caused this, you know, people are addicted to social media.
Mm-hmm. Not Jaslyn.
Never.
No.
Never. And what happens is they'll have a school dance and they don't like a particular kid. They take a picture of that person without their consent, and then they go ahead and put it on a mean meme.
Yeah.
And it continues, making them look stupid. And by the time it is shared, law enforcement, when they backtrack, as you know, we backtrack with investigations, with anything. You always mm-hmm. backtrack to find the source.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, after all these shares and shares and shares, it gets difficult to pinpoint who's the one that did it.
And I think another difficult question is, you know, where do you draw the line between free speech and destroying somebody's life without cause because you're just a jerk?
We see a lot of mental health issues because of the fact, like you said, the bullying would start in school and even after school, walking home. You either took care of business or you didn't. But you
yeah.
wasn't 24/7.
Exactly. And it wasn't with a gun. You're punching yourself. You're punching each other out. And that was basically the end of it. You go home, you explain what happened to mom and dad, and you either get, you know, your suspension, but you go back. And sometimes the bully gets reconciled if his victim stands up to him and understands this isn't going to happen anymore and with that. But it's not that simple anymore today. And because the bully is really a super coward in that they can remain anonymous and still continue to taunt their victims.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this. You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
I guess, Jasmine, I want to ask you the question. What do you see as the biggest issue and the biggest success that you're seeing in elementary school? You've got two kids, and what are you scared about, and what are you excited about for them going to school?
I definitely agree with David on the overcrowding. When my son was in kindergarten, they do put more emphasis on smaller classes just because most of the time it's their first year in school, and they try to make it a small class. So my son's class was about 15 in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really notice how many kids are in the class until... because you're not really allowed to walk them to class anymore. It's kind of hard. You know the teacher, but you don't know the amount there is until, what was it, Halloween? We were making bags, you know, for him to give to his friends. And I asked the teacher how many kids there were, and she said 32. And I said, oh, my gosh, that just doubled in, like, just for the next year. I said, how are you putting that much emphasis on 30 kids? And it's just her.
Yeah.
And four or five teachers share a teacher assistant. So now, thankfully, you know, my son doesn't have any learning disabilities, but I can imagine that kids who do have learning disabilities, they're not getting the attention that they deserve and they should be getting because of the lack of teachers or the...
And it goes both ways. Those who do have learning disabilities need that additional attention, but those who are able to excel then don't get it. And so we're losing on both fronts. The No Child Left Behind is a good little theme and motto, but in reality, we all progress differently. And if you just give the same courses to everybody, the kids that aren't learning as quickly are going to be left behind, and the kids that could really excel are not going to reach their potential. And so the big classes like that can't possibly address those issues. What do you see happening with the teachers that really inspires you?
I think the amount of, they have quite a bit of optional parent-teacher conferences. The whole social media and our phones is really giving us the ability to talk to the teachers more often. And
so that's a good aspect.
That's a good aspect of it.
There's lots of good aspects of it.
Yeah, like in kindergarten, they would post pictures of the kids because they're your babies, you know, and they go to class for the first time and they're in school. So the teachers did an amazing job about posting pictures of them and the activities that they were doing. It kind of slowed down with first grade, obviously, because their classes doubled in size. They don't have the time to be taking pictures, you know. But it's so much easier to just reach out to the teacher and say, hey, you know, I have this homework. I just want to make sure that he does it right, blah, blah, blah. And they answer quickly, which I appreciate because I'm sure they're not getting paid to answer me at 6:30 o'clock on a Monday night, you know. But they do anyways to make sure that my son does the homework appropriately. So that I always appreciate, and I try to tell them that the principal at Otondo, I was really impressed with. I talked to you about it when the whole school shooting threats were going on.
Yeah.
That I reached out to her and I sent her an email about my concerns and kind of what actions were they taking at the time to ensure the kids' safety. And instead of emailing back or having somebody else, she called me on my cell phone an hour after I sent that email, and she was talking to me about what they had done and the measure that they had gone through. And the police department donated some screens for the windows that are bulletproof, and they put that on all the windows. And she says she was there when they tested them out at the police department, and the doors are always remain locked. And that was so impressive. And I was talking to Sean about how I was so happy that she did that, because, and she empathized with me, and she said, I understand that your life is here and I'm in charge of your baby while he's here, and I do not take that job for granted. And That was very impressive. So I love Otondo. I love the teachers there that my son has gotten, obviously.
Uh-huh.
I've actually worked with all
of them. And that's one of the schools that you oversee.
Yes. You're absolutely right. That is a wonderful school. I've toured that school. They have an excellent preschool program there at mm-hmm. the school, and the employees can use that preschool also with their children, and they take them there. And it's an excellent program. Also, special needs. When we talk about special needs, I also toured Alice Byrne and McGraw schools where they deal with the special needs students. Mm. They, the ratio there is your paraprofessionals assisting the special needs education teachers, and they really take their time with not only fine sensory motor skills and gross sensory motor skills, but they also have a room for them to relax. They have a special room when they're overstimulated and they need to relax. They got a room. The classrooms are designed with the light being a little bit more soothing because, you know, again, we have Mr. Sheldahl and I have toured numerous schools.
Uh-huh.
But again, with Otondo, they're excellent setup there.
And what role does Mr. Sheldahl play?
He's the superintendent. Jamie Sheldahl is our superintendent. He'll be retiring this month, and Dennis Ponder will be taking over as superintendent.
Uh-huh.
So, again, and in the short time I've been on the school board, we have toured numerous schools to get boots on the ground again.
Yeah.
And let the teachers know how much we appreciate them, the paraprofessionals. One of the staff that we often leave out is our support staff. Our support staff consists of our custodians, of course,
mm-hmm.
our paraprofessionals that are always in the classroom helping out, supervising during recess.
What about the front desk people?
The front desk people, the clerical,
That's how I'm always interacting with.
They're professional. They're very dedicated, and they're excellent. Then you have
And they're the first line. Because, you know, they need to be able to follow their gut. I'm sure they've got training, but our gut is pretty smart. I always tell my staff and my clients that when you make a gut decision, you're usually right. But they see a lot of people come in and request for a child to be released, and they got to know if there's something amiss going on there.
Absolutely. They're there. Some of our schools have an excellent verification when you come in,
uh-huh.
where you have to sign in with your phone number, and it'll take a picture of you, and that way it
runs an FBI out. Check.
Well, not quite, but what it does is you enter your phone, you register, and it'll print out a sticky with your photo on it and your name as a visitor,
uh-huh.
and the system's built in. If you have a person that has caused any problems or is a security problem for that school,
uh-huh.
that system will tell them this person cannot be on campus.
And you've got a beeper that tells you that person's there.
Well, we don't use beepers anymore, and that would be, of course, that would
No, that would be awesome, though, if it would, did, because you know, I would want David Ibarra on the case.
Well, we can. if they want to notify me, they can. But again, we have an excellent security system where they're looking out, especially Otondo. The secretary there is awesome because when you go into that hallway, she's right there.
Miss Mickey.
Yes,
I
Miss
love
Mickey.
Her.
Yes,
yes.
Exactly.
Wonderful. She knows all of the kids' names. I'm like, everybody. How? Yeah. They all shuffle through here like crazy. And
That's what I'm saying. Some of them are just the miracle workers.
Yeah, and they make a joke with each student. They try to make them feel comfortable. I mean, I've seen her help a kid stop crying so he'll want to go into class. And I'm like, that is huge. Because the parents, you feel guilty and your kid's crying and you're just, you know they have to go to school. But the whole Otondo, and the doors are always locked. Always locked. You have to beep. They have to see you through the camera before they let you in. And Miss Mickey's right there at the front. And they don't release your children until you go to the classroom. The teacher sees you and they call the kid and then they give them to you for mm-hmm. all the grades. I think it's only fifth grade that doesn't do that. But yeah, it's awesome. But going back to the bullying, cyberbullying, I feel like kids are, I think kids are given phones too young.
Were you a cyber bully?
No.
there was a bit of a pause there.
No, I was bullied the old school way where you get beat up after school.
No, I meant bullying.
Oh no, I got bullied. Uh-huh. But I think kids, we were at Peter Piper, what was it, two, three
Why
weeks
did you
ago.
Get bullied? I can't imagine you would get bullied.
What was...
You're such a likable person. Oh, yes. Who would want to bully you?
I stood up for another girl, and they left her alone, but they, you know, like, oh, you want some?
Really?
Yeah. So they were making fun of another... This was fifth grade, and I was just like, why are you being mean to her? And they're like, oh, you want some? I was like, oh, no, I don't. And it just continued, but that was the old school way.
Uh-huh.
But we were at Peter Piper, and we're standing in the line to get the candies, you know, after you play the games and you get your tokens.
That's
and
the worst. I'll tell you what, as a parent, I say, please stop.
Peter Piper never has somebody there. I'm like, this is like your main moneymaker. Somebody should be here. 50,000
tickets get you a plastic frog. And
yeah. You could have gone to Dollar Tree.
I'll step on in the middle of the night. Uh-huh.
But there was a line of kids. So my two sons, one is 6 and 4. They don't have phones. They don't have their own tablet or anything like that. But there was 3 girls right behind us in line. Must have been from ages, I don't know, 6 to 10, I'm estimating.
Mm-hmm.
All 3 of them had a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And they were standing in line to get tokens, but they were just scrolling and texting. And I'm like, who are you texting? You're like 8. You know, your mom should be here, or, you know, shouldn't be here, but I'm doubting you're texting your mom. You know, I'm like, why are you scrolling? Why are you on TikTok? There's no, I feel like parental controls only go so far.
They
slip through the cracks.
These kids are so much smarter than parents and getting around all of those firewalls.
And not only the kids, but like people make, there's tons of YouTube videos that look like they're for kids, but there's so many things that are said in the video.
Mm-hmm.
This is my biggest thing with YouTube, is that my son will put a video and my mother-in-law, who's elderly, doesn't, she sees just Hulk and Captain America and she thinks it's fine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there's things that they're saying to each other that are not appropriate.
Uh-huh.
Like they make it seem like it's for kids, but it's not for
kids. Yeah, they got a lot of adult content in there.
Yes. And oh my goodness, that is, yeah, I hate YouTube because there's so many evil people out there that are trying to get the kids to watch it, you know? And the parents mm-hmm. don't know better because, or the grandparents, they just see and they're like, oh, it's fine. Especially my mother-in-law, she doesn't speak English. So she doesn't understand what they're saying. So like YouTube is a no-no. I do not like it.
So this is a good question for you, David. Trump's platform was that we had so many undocumented immigrants coming into the United States. And although we are a country of immigrants, we want to make sure that the citizens here are safe and the streets are safe. And when they're undocumented, we don't know where they're coming from. We don't know what their background is. They could be pedophiles in the country that they came from. And I saw on the news just yesterday that the 121st child trafficker, undocumented child trafficker, was arrested yesterday. And that's a lot in the first, I think it's, they've averaged 1 per day of his administration. They use social media to groom children, to say things that seem pretty tame and normal up front, but they're trying to get the children to look into things that will eventually lead to a situation where they could prey upon those kids. Have you seen that? Have you dealt with that in either law enforcement or in your work as a member of the district?
First of all, with the documentation, my parents came here the legal way
mm-hmm.
in the 60s. They came from Guadalajara and Mazatlan, and my mom's from Mazatlan, my dad's from Guadalajara. They came out here. They set a good example. They went ahead and followed the rules and did everything they were supposed to do. We spoke Spanish at home and English outside the home. And
which is awesome.
Yes.
It's so awesome because I think that the parents that only speak English to their kids and know Spanish are doing such a disservice to those kids, because I would do anything to be able to speak Spanish. And so to be bilingual the way you are because your parents did that is awesome. Sorry to interrupt.
No problem. And yeah. Jasmine, I imagine you were able to help a lot of people in your profession, being bilingual, being fluently bilingual, to assist people.
Yeah.
You know, it helps out. Same thing with me in law enforcement. As I mentioned before, I worked in Metropolitan State Hospital on a psych unit, and the levels that the ward that I worked at was all Spanish speaking patience.
And it's not just communication. It's they feel like you really understand them if you speak their language. You could use an interpreter, mm-hmm. but that's so cold and it's heartless. It's not the human connection that you get. If you speak their language, then you have a better chance of saying, yes, I hear you. I understand what you're going through. So you were talking about that, about how you grew up. Your parents went through the immigration process, and that's where I cut you off. No. Go ahead.
Again, we learned the American way. We immerse ourselves, mm-hmm. and we fast forward. Here I am, you know, serving as a public servant and also in the military. But one of the things is that we went ahead and wanted to shine. We wanted to make sure that everything we learned from our parents, we took to our kids, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was one of those things. So yes, when it comes to all these undocumented people that come in, you're right. We don't know who they are. When I worked in Los Angeles, I worked a kidnapping case where yours truly had to deliver the money, just like a movie.
Really? The suitcase.
The suitcase, the whole thing. And they were illegal immigrants. From Chilangos, from Mexico City,
uh-huh.
that had...
Chilangos, they have a bad rep.
They sure do. We all know that.
uh-huh.
Sorry, just the way he said okay. it.
Okay. You're not from Azcapotzalco, are you?
No.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this. You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
But anyway, yes. And they, instead of coming to this country to work, hard work, they decided it'd be a good idea to kidnap a lady. Mm-hmm. And the investigation went on to the point that yours truly, the Spanish-speaking skills came in, because I had to pose as one of the relatives of the family,
uh-huh.
his family. And I had to deliver the money. I'll never forget. I had to go to 2nd Avenue in Norco off the 15 freeway.
Uh-huh.
Just like the movies. And back then it was payphones. You will drop the money. You'll see a hat on the fence. Drop it over the fence. All this time, they're pointing guns at me. And I had a vest on, and I had a SWAT guy in the back seat of the car because I had to use one of the family members' car. So again, we go back to them. Mm-hmm. Luckily, they got life in prison.
Yeah.
They were arrested. Money was recovered. And I will send you pictures, and I send Adam some commendation about that, because again, it was just like a movie. And again, it was more embarrassing as a Mexican American seeing, why do you guys do this? You make us look bad.
Yeah.
Y por uno pagan todos. We have a saying, for one person we all pay.
Yes.
And okay, and then getting back to your mental health question that you had with,
can we play this clip of your interview about Trump and the security detail that goes on?
I had a local veteran and retired police sergeant who worked together with Secret Service shares with us what goes into protecting political figures. News 11's Daniel Bergnor sat down with him to discuss the security angle of presidential details following this weekend's assassination attempt against former President Donald Trump.
David Ibarra worked 3 presidential details with President Bush, Clinton, and Trump. Ibarra explains some of the security planning and perimeter checks that take place before presidential details.
We have to meet a week before with the Secret Service to go over the plans on where the venue is going to be held, what the area is going to be like, what roads are going to be blocked, what emergency routes are going to be used in an event of emergency, closest hospital.
And even with the advanced security, Ibarra says there are still a lot of unanswered questions about this recent shooting.
There's so many questions from people right now. What do you think went wrong in this scenario? How was the person able to still scale a building and not be seen all that time? What went wrong in this scenario?
Another question is, why weren't those buildings swept, checked out? If there was a threat that was detected prior to President Trump speaking, why was he allowed to go on the stage?
Ibarra worked with Trump in 2016 when he was a presidential candidate. He says he was shocked to see the shooting and says he expects to see an increase in security.
I know you said he has more security staff now. What do you think are some more changes that will happen as we get closer to the presidential election and future presidential elections?
Indoor venues, like they have right now with the convention, triple security checks and triple protection on the protectees with Secret Service and law enforcement.
The shooting investigation is still ongoing. Reporting in studio, Danielle Burke North, News 11.
And again, I was taught to live with integrity. We're not perfect. I wasn't perfect. But we were taught, you're in this country, make the best thing you can do, no matter what you do. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what you were talking about with kids having these cell phones. You gotta remember, back in the 70s, when we watched TV, we had to get up and change the TV. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. And we only had 13 channels. That was it. Okay. But even back then, we had shows that were controversial. Now I'm dating myself, like Police Woman, Kojak, movies that or series or movies, and they would tell the parents, this is not appropriate for kids.
Uh-huh.
So your parents would say, go to your room.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch this. And they had that control. Same thing with movies. If it was rated R, it's rated R. You're not going to go watch that movie.
They won't let you in the theater.
We didn't have VCRs. In fact, it was Betamax that came out with movies, and now I'm dating myself. But we had control because you either put that VHS in there and they can watch the movie or not.
Yeah.
But nowadays, the kids are being poisoned by YouTube because they have these messages that are grooming kids. And they do it with cartoons. I investigated enough pedophiles and put them behind bars where they groom kids to say that it's okay. There's sick cartoons out there that groom kids. I won't get into details, but that are sick.
Yes, that normalizes very bad behavior.
Yes. And what happens is our children now are not, and again, you've heard this before, but I'll say it again. Kids, you don't see them playing outside. We used to play tag. Parents would say, cuando se prenda la luz de la street light, inside. Mm-hmm. Okay, when the street light comes on, inside. But you would play.
Yeah.
You would run. You would have fun. Ride your bikes, whatever. We don't see that. What are the kids doing right now in the summer break? Most likely they're on this phone scrolling.
Yeah.
Or on a computer watching inappropriate videos.
Yeah.
And our kids now have been exposed. You know, it used to be where your parents would sit you down and talk about the birds and the bees. And now, unfortunately, the children are learning stuff too quick.
Oh, yeah.
Too fast. In fact, I had one case, at the school, where I was raking out front as a custodian, and I saw some yellow sticky notes. Just like someone went like this and threw them.
Mm-hmm.
I rake it up. I start putting them together, and it was a notes for suicide ideations from a student. When you put it together, she looked like she wrote, and it was a female, she wrote what she was planning on doing because she was bullied.
Yeah.
And it was like a jigsaw puzzle, but we put it together. I went to the head custodian, Fred. I said, hey, Fred, I found this. It doesn't look good. We need to find out who the student is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this is a cry for help.
Yeah.
Took it to our principal, Mr. Gettings, wonderful principal.
Yep.
No, and they found out who it was, and that person got counseling. But that's the cry for help that we're seeing a lot of. And they couldn't, of course, get into the details of what her suicidal ideations were, what manifested them. But being a trained nurse, you know, I'm just... There's always a reason for something, right?
Yeah.
And out of raking these sticky notes, hopefully that person got the counseling they needed.
It's one of those things that everybody can participate in a very meaningful way and in all walks of life. And you have an extremely diverse background. I don't know that I have met somebody with a more diverse background. And so you're able to put pieces together that would just go over the head of most people. And so I love the fact that you're on the school board. Now, I know you're going to take that retirement and you're going to be touring the world and going on a lot of vacations because they pay a lot to be on the school board. How much do they pay these days?
Oh, my gosh.
Remember, it's it's an elected position. People will say, well, it's a volunteer position.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. But it's also an elected position. We worked hard, all of us, Jeff Stoner, Corey Riekel, you know, all of us worked hard to get where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
The steps that you have to go through, the signatures, okay? In this day and age, people do not like you knocking on their doors. They don't, no bueno.
Okay? Yeah.
They don't like that. So you have to do a lot of footwork. But once you get there and you get elected, it's an honor.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
And we do have, I had no idea that we would have so many meetings that we have.
You had a meeting last night?
No, not last night.
Oh, what is it? Like first Tuesday?
Second Tuesday. Of every month at 5:45.
Mm-hmm.
And, but we did go out into the community to talk about when they were doing the rezoning for the district, you know, mm-hmm. talking about doing that. So we went to Prado Estates and Sierra Pacific Estates where we talked. We went to their community clubhouses and talked to them because they mm-hmm. had concerns. So you find yourself getting involved in the community. You found your constituents calling when they have...
You're putting a lot of hours in.
Yeah, we're putting a lot of hours in, yes.
So how much do you get paid per year?
Well, it's a cero. Nothing. We don't get paid. We don't get paid to do this job. No.
You get paid nothing.
Nothing.
And we had a discussion last week. It was Adam and I that I said that politicians should get paid so much that it puts corruption very much out of the question, like CEOs for corporations, because they are managing large entities like cities and schools and so forth. And so I advocated for paying quite a bit for people that were elected to these offices. And he said, no, I don't think they should be paid a lot, because if you're genuinely wanting to work for the community, you're going to do it out of the goodness of your heart and not for the pay. And I'm not going to say he was right, but I was less right in your case, because you're truly doing it out of the goodness of your heart. You're putting in a ton of hours. You're taking, you know, for every good thing that you do, parents are going to see all the failures that are occurring, and they're going to pin it on you. And so you become this big target. And for what? What compensation? What do you get out of it?
Well, first of all, we have our five school board members. All of them have full-time jobs. You know Jeff Stoner. He owns his own company.
I love it. He's a fantastic electrician.
Fantastic. Integrity. Wonderful man. And he literally has two phones. And like I said, he's working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all the other school board members, they have their full-time jobs that they have to attend to. I'm the only retiree. I'm the one that's there. But yes, we get involved. And one of the things is going out there and staying grounded. Okay. To this day, I still volunteer. I'm still the volunteer backup crossing guard for Castle Dome. So you might see me out there on 24th and Otondo.
Uh-huh.
Direct, and we know how the traffic is out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's tremendous.
Yeah.
And
well, my son will be seeing you.
Yes.
Because he's going into seventh grade this year.
It's going to be great. And when Silver, who is the crossing guard there, that gentleman, he doesn't take days off. But when he does, if he needs me, Mr. Gettings, he can call me.
Uh-huh.
And I do it as a volunteer because I've done it. It keeps you grounded because you get to see your students. In fact, a very funny story. We just had promotions at Castle Dome,
mm-hmm.
okay? And yours truly attended the promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine, I've seen these students grow up because I was there at Castle Dome for approximately 3 years. So I've crossed these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they've seen me as their custodian, right? So we get up there for promotions. Mr. Gettings, Dennis Ponder was there and me, and we're shaking hands with all these kids that are coming up to get their certificates. What was funny is the students go, hey, God, the custodians all dressed up and mm-hmm. handing out our certificates. They had no idea that I was a school board member.
Yeah.
They put on the flyer, you know, the people that were there for, you know, to attend the promotion. But a lot of the students, when they're... aren't you the crossing guard? Yeah, I was crossing guard. Okay.
I think that mentality, though, is so great
yes.
to show the kids that you play both those roles. And the humbleness to participate from anywhere to hostage negotiation to custodian and contribute wherever you are in society. Gosh, I wish we had more immigrants like your family. I really appreciate the service that you provide. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I wish I could sit here for another hour and talk with you, but appreciate you, David, for coming on our show, and we will be inviting you back. So look for that text.
I thank you, Jasmine. I thank you, sir.
Yes.
Thank you very much for having me on your show. It was an honor. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.